Good morning. This is Raise the Vibe on Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Liz Peterson of Liz's Healing Touch here on Island. This morning, I have Jessica Boulding in the Sunrise Ridge studio with me, and we're going to be talking about her acupuncture, herbal, and meditation business here on Island called Prom. Jessica Boulding went to school at Bastyr University with a Master's of Natural Health Science and Acupuncture in 1999. Some of Jessica's favorite times during her internship were experiences at the hospital in Chengdu, China's University of Chinese Medicine. This inspired Jessica to learn Mandarin Chinese and spend the following 2 years working in the Chinese medical departments of local hospitals in China and Taiwan. In the last 8 years, Jessica has taken on more active humanitarian role in grant writing and exploring options for a healthier world for all. Most of her work has been centered around clean water, hygiene, and healthcare access, with a strong emphasis on first do no harm when it comes to global support. Jessica also has a passion for healing through plant foods. She has gone through the Hippocrates Health Institute 3 weeks life change program, completed Cornell University's plant-based nutrition program, attended some living light courses, and teaches classes on plant-based healing. Jessica now offers these and other classes online and in the process of authoring an at-home Chinese medicine guide to health for every person. Jessica is very honored and excited to be on the AWB board with a shared passion to create more peace in the world. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Liz.
It's great to have you.
Thanks.
So before we go into acupuncture, I'd love to touch a little bit on your humanitarian work. Could you share with us what you've been up to in that field?
Yeah, absolutely. So really a lot of, besides just being someone who really loves to travel, having spent time overseas in third world settings, and a desire to help the world in general, that with that in the background and then starting Rotary some 11 plus years ago, eventually some friends in Rotary got me into travel grants, water grants, hygiene grants, and I became really interested in that field and began to, my initial interest for a while was in suppressing sex trafficking.
And oh, fantastic.
Yeah, but then as I began to explore it more, and I was reading a lot of books by Jared Diamond, mm-hmm. and I read Tropics of Chaos and some other books, I was really looking at, water is the base of everything.
Right.
And so when you start taking care of people's water, you have less illness so that people can work more. And hopefully parents then aren't getting in a situation where they're so desperate that they're willing to either be fooled by someone or sell a child.
Right.
That's, I know,
really
it's kind
of
heavy to start off.
No, that's one of the, and I mean, that's what's going on. So it's something that needs to be talked about. I'm really fascinated with the do no harm aspect of it.
That's a really good point, because I think a lot of us think, oh, well, give socks to someone in another country, mm-hmm. or we'll go in and set up this new water system. So I was really fortunate in at one point I went to Ecuador and there was this huge conference and 80% of the projects were on water. And some of them were really not sustainable at all. They were basically building a little America in another country that wasn't sustainable and required chemicals and big systems that were only going to impact a small amount of people. And the need is huge for water all across the globe.
Right.
And so we have to be really conscious. And I've seen some what I would consider not conscious giving, both in that they end up just being burdens on the group there. So for like an example is seeing a grant for defibrillators in Africa.
Right.
But there's no hospital around to do cardiac support. So defibrillators don't save anyone's lives.
No.
And so, who spent $20,000 to put this into a little hospital that doesn't do anything? And then the locals are like, I don't know what to do with this, but I don't want to give away my ability to get more money.
Wow.
So, if people who are interested in this, one documentary that's really interesting is Poverty Incorporated, kind of puts it all in one spot of at least to consider the concepts, not that they have everything right, but if you think about as far as like shirts and shoes and solar panels and even medicine, if you go in and food, especially if you go into a disaster situation or an impoverished area and you give that to them, then you have no more doctors and you have, because you can't charge for it. You don't have no cobblers who are making shoes. You have no seamstresses who are making dresses. You have, because they have all of our leftover old clothes that all the local industries can no longer support themselves.
Right.
And so we don't really know what we're doing sometimes when we're giving is actually more harmful than if we came in and had like a military lockdown on them.
Gosh, that's good to shed the light on that. You said you were involved in Rotary. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm currently not an active member. And again, the great things that I really enjoyed about Rotary was some of the presentations each week, and then also the opportunities I've had, because when I got to travel with them, I would be around some of the dignitaries and the wealthiest people in the country, and then I'd go hang out with the locals for a week, and I'd get both opinions, which were obviously not always the same.
Obviously.
As in, I know, in any culture, they're not going to be the same, but I think they're both really valid, important pictures, because I think both sides might be missing something sometimes. And so I wouldn't have had those opportunities without the Rotary, like travel grants and getting to go like work on a project and then see it in action. And I really try to be really intentional with which projects I joined, like for water or even medical. There's some I actually sometimes like pull out of because I was like, I don't think that's going to do the first do no harm, which is a tenet of all natural healing. And if you're doing global work, you want to make sure you're not doing harm first. And actually now I'm inactive in Rotary, but I've been mentoring my daughter and a friend in a project that they got supported. They wrote a little little grant from Rotary to build a drone attachment for collecting water. Since my background was in water, I kind of imparted some of that information onto them. And then for some science fair competitions, they came up with this whole thing. It's really cool. And I've been just supporting them.
Right. And what do they get to do with that? Do they get to travel or?
Well, they've won some awards with it, and that was really exciting. Mm-hmm. I just have to say, I think Tesla STEM High School is a great thing. I didn't know existed until we went into the high school level of science fairs, but they beat out Tesla STEM High School with, these kids have, as you can imagine, everything they at their fingertips.
Right.
And they work all day long in school on it. And then these two freshmen go into a junior, senior competition and beat them out in environmental engineering.
Wow, congratulations.
And they do it all in their spare time.
Great.
Yeah, and then when they went to Washington State, they won a scholarship to a university, both of them, like $8,000 each.
Great.
That was great. And then they were awarded to be able to go to Genius Olympiads in New York.
Oh, can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I didn't know about this kind of collaboration competition, and it's really exciting because I think this is one of the best getting to present at Rotary District, and this is one of the best things that's come out of this project that they've been working on. And the Genius Olympiads has the goal of taking kind of community humanitarian minded people and putting them all in the same place from around the entire world. So 74 countries, 1,700 projects, 1 week all together. And there's some of it will be a competition, but a lot of it's collaboration. There's even like just going off to Niagara Falls together. And
fun.
Yeah. And they're also going to have them do like problem solving together in groups.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's actually the competition's rather harder to get into it if you're an American. So any local United States people are actually a minority. And then if you look at the names of the people who got in the United States, they're not your Caucasian names at all. So it's going to be this incredibly like immigrants and diversity and global concepts all in one through all the fields, including music, art, videos, robotics, drones, science, entrepreneurship.
God, what a beautiful experience.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you also you're involved with Acupuncture Without Borders. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I actually got invited to be on their board about a year ago, and Acupuncture Without Borders does local community clinics and all around the world, mean local meaning United States, mostly for veterans or people who are at need. And it's really mostly ear acupuncture that they do.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then they go around to disaster situations in the United States and globally. So right after a hurricane or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up tents and they help everyone. Now, a lot of people may not really, they kind of think, if there's a disaster, why do you need acupuncture? Really, you need food and water and shelter. And that is true. However, one of the big issues with people is trauma in our current culture.
Yes.
And global culture, especially after an incident.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things you need is to get people's brains back online.
Yeah.
and get the trauma out of their system. And this, you know, really simple technology of just putting 5 needles in each ear, they actually have research where it shows where it diverts blood away from the amygdala and back up to the prefrontal cortex. So it takes you out of your fight or flight, that kind of looping part of your brain where people experience PTSD.
Right.
And directs it
triggered so easily.
Exactly. And then gets them out of that trigger cycle right away. And so getting people back to feeling balanced themselves and thinking clearly under distress can actually be one of the best things, as well as pain control. There are times like when they're in Haiti that they had these tents set up and then people were crying and screaming and doctors were trying to help them. And they would go in while doctors were working on them. And they said you could hear the wave of silence going through the tent as the acupuncturist moved through the tent. And there'd be one whole tent.
That's amazing.
Silent. And they go to the next tent of chaos and then silence after they went through the next tent.
Wow, that must be an incredible thing to experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been invited to be on their board and I've gone to some meetings and just helping them resource and direct.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a fantastic way to give back.
Yeah. And, you know, my field and.
Right.
Yeah. And they work really hard at the first do no harm.
And I think that's really important. Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate that too.
They also they treat everyone, all the responders and each other at every place, so that no one goes away untreated.
Important.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to care for our responders too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And recently you've included plant-based healing into your practice?
Yeah, that's been going on since 2007 or so.
Okay.
Yeah, and some people know my story there, some don't, but
you want to share that with us?
Yeah. Great. After my second child, I began to become very ill, significantly ill. And it, you know, something like a thing called Guillain-Barré syndrome was what one neurologist thought I had.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, your whole body goes numb and then your organs can start to become paralyzed and your body can become paralyzed. And then they thought maybe I had some sort of MS, and just being that I have been in the healthcare practice long enough that I see kind of the MS route on the current allopathic direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not opposed to any of those directions, but I thought if there's anything else I can do besides that, I will first try that, you know, before I go down the very expensive. And then half the time you feel like you have the flu and and there's all sorts of other long-term side effects. So I started doing a lot of research and went way outside the box and outside the box of my background even. And I started looking at what's curing the incurable. And I had such drive because it was my livelihood and I had young children. And at the time I was the only breadwinner most of the time. And just the way we had organized our lives at that time were having young kids. And so I was just thinking, I've got to get this figured out. And herbs and acupuncture were not enough. I mean, they helped, but just helped.
Right.
And so with that research, saw some preliminary studies in Germany on raw food. And I was like, I'm going to try this because they looked compelling. Small cohort, so not really conclusive, but enough for me to go, I want to try this. Right. And it was amazing. 2 weeks later, like a huge 70-80% of my symptom loads were gone.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's a dramatic change.
It was dramatic. And I was thinking there was no medicine, no herb, no point that could have done that for me.
Wow.
Yeah. And
they can work holistically together.
Absolutely. In fact, I think it helps. They actually synergize. They're very complementary, exactly what you're saying. And so then I kept at it, but I would have kind of relapses of health. And I just kept at it. And it took about 4 or 5 years of what they would say high raw. So like 80%+ raw.
Wow.
Raw food. And and I was really curious. After those first 2 weeks, I was like, what is this and why? Because Chinese medicine in the United States is taught as cook your food and make sure you eat some meat. So this was the direct opposite. Yeah. And then even Bastyr is a fairly meat-centric culture.
Wow.
And
I would have automatically assumed it would be the opposite.
They may be changing now, but that's not what I have found. Like, when I was vegetarian before I went to Bastyr, and a naturopath acupuncturist was like, oh, you have to eat meat. Your yang qi is low. And so, so I started eating a sustainable or ethical chicken. And then when I was in Asia, I ate meat. But And they may have changed them, but you know, the naturopaths are often worried about too low of cholesterol levels.
Okay.
And then the Chinese medicine people have all been taught eat some meat and cook your food. But when I
Yeah, to
lived in,
increase your chi, your energy.
well, it's that can be a long,
Curious because I'm a
a lot.
vegetarian.
Well,
It always
my
fascinates me.
family's mostly vegan, and I mean now I really, you know, want to empower my kids to make their own food choices. But at the ages of, I think around, we've been primarily vegetarian, but then around ages 6 and 9, we became vegan and a lot of raw food,
Right.
and so for a lot of years, and you know, but so the thing about Chinese medicine and meat and cooking your food is part of it has to do with pathogens. So, you know, there's this thing about that if you didn't cook your food, that you would, you know, they didn't always have access to sanitation and such. It
Oh,
was a
I
part of it.
see.
And so cooking your food really
It
helped
was really
cut down
important.
on disease in an area where, I mean, the crossover of contamination from animal products into vegetable products was high.
Hi.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, and yet also when I was in Asia, a lot of people ate raw food. But it was in the form of cucumbers, tomatoes, fruit. In fact, they
I
ate it
see.
all day long. Like all the time. And
Great.
so part of it is a misnomer that Chinese people or don't eat any raw food.
Oh, that's
But all
interesting.
the people here in the West who study Chinese medicine think, oh, well, don't eat any raw food. But, you know, I was talking to Chuck, my husband, who went back with me, and we were discussing this later, and he was like, they ate raw food all day. It's mostly fruit. And I was like, yeah,
Right?
you're right. Like, we ate fruit 24/7.
Yeah.
And even when I was in Beijing, like, they would have tomatoes or cucumbers on the side of your bowl of soup. So,
Oh, great.
yeah,
Yeah, so
anyway.
you're having, something cooked and then something raw on the side. That's great.
Yeah, and then the meat thing, it was people of only the people who were wealthy of affluence could afford meat at all. And so even
Wow.
in our current Western culture, meat was considered even holy or of status. And also the people who had those resources had more hygiene capacity and access to medicine. So there was a strong
Interesting.
correlation between meat and health. And there are certain circumstances
Wow.
meat can make you feel a lot better. And so that's true as well. At times, it can really make you feel better when you're in certain circumstances.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks. What was the life change program that we read about in your bio?
Oh, yeah. Life Change Program was at Hippocrates Health Institute. So during that journey of illness, and I appreciate a naturopath I was working with. She did some research on where I grew up, and I grew up in an atomic city where they did a lot of manufacturing of nuclear capacity.
Oh my.
So I was exposed to lots and lots of nuclear waste, and some of it undisclosed, and others of it being methyl organic mercury, which, I mean, I'm just lucky that I was even as healthy as I am and that I was able to have children.
Yeah. Wow.
So, with that toxic load, when she looked up where I lived, specifically my neighborhood and the streams that I played in, she was like, "Oh,
Wow.
you've had serious contamination." And with these kind of flare-ups that I would have, she said, "You should probably go somewhere inpatient." So I had for a while been researching all this anyway, and the one that fit best with, like, there's several types of clinics that do mostly raw food and juicing, and since that was already working for me, I wanted to follow that vein.
Right.
And Hippocrates was the one that was easiest, really, for us to access, and one of the easiest programs to follow out of all of those. So we ended up in Florida. The whole family went.
Great.
Yeah. And
That's wonderful that those programs exist.
yes. Yeah. And they take a lot of research, and they take usually some major health crisis, and they take a lot of money.
Yeah.
We did a small community fundraiser that, you know, out of the, you know, $11,000 for all of us to be
Wow.
there. You know, it was really fortunate we were able to get 1,000 or so from the community. But,
God, that's wonderful.
yeah. And we were just like, this is just a sacrifice we're just going to
Yeah.
have to make because when you lose your health, you can lose everything.
Yeah, you really can.
Yeah. And I learned a lot there. So it's mostly they called it an institute. I think there's kind of legalities over calling it any sort of clinic-like aspect. But you go in and they do wheatgrass, and they even teach you about colon cleansing, and there's saunas, and there's all the kind of latest technologies and gadgets and blood work, and you know, that's available there. And then, great. Yeah, so you learn a lot while you're there. So it's considered an institute. You go through all these classes for those 3 weeks as well.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. I'm glad that's available.
Yeah.
And if anybody else is listening out there that has been in similar circumstances, might want to look into that too.
You know,
as part of their, you know, bringing their health back up to speed. Cool. And then you also did the Cornell Nutrition Program.
Yeah. So for people who've read, what was it, the China study? That's just a piece of some of the kind of instructions that are there. But yeah, that was a great, it was online and it's Cornell University, and they just had top-notch instruction and classes, and you had to do assignments and turn them in and discussion platforms. And so I really appreciated it, kind of pushed me to really dive into the information in a very accountable way, you know, like when you have the teacher checking your work.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of, I was obviously motivated anyway by my own health. That's right. A lot of accountability, but then, you know, we all get a little bit like, oh, the teacher's going to be watching. So, but I learned a lot about cardiovascular, how plant-based, and this is whole food plant-based, low oil, whole food, that type of thing affects people in general. And it was really fascinating. It made me feel like a lot of cancer potentially, and even heart disease, as Caldwell Esselstyn would say, is a paper tooth tiger. That's what he always likes to say.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, that you don't really need to be so worried about it if you do a significant lifestyle change.
Nice. That's true.
For 95% of people.
You know, it's good that you're learning that not only for yourself, but for your
Absolutely.
Clients as well. And then you can pass on what, you know, you've learned and what you've experienced will flow into your practice. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So acupuncture, can you tell us about acupuncture?
These are all great questions. They're big topics,
they
really.
Are big.
Yeah. Well, I love acupuncture. It's been a fascination. I'm a very analytical, skeptical person, actually. Which is funny, if you ever take those personality tests, I laugh because my husband, who's an engineer and computer guy, I score higher in analytical logical than he does, which I thought was really funny. So ending up going into acupuncture was a funny thing, and yet it really does make sense to me. It makes sense. It's an old medicine. It's a different way of looking at things. It's really more of a macrocosm, like stepping back and looking at how this system of this human being works within this larger system of this environment, like your house, your home, your society, what the weather's like. It's very comprehensive compared to current allopathic medicine. It has made wonderful strides in medicine, and yet it's very linear. It's very much like we see this molecule at this little level, so now we think this. But those assumptions can be really wrong without looking at the larger picture. So when I was first looking at, I was pre-med at one point. I was pre-vet and then pre-med. And then, when you you'll hear things like eggs are good for you, eggs are bad for you. Okay, actually, they're not good for you anymore. You become very confused. And so without that larger background that acupuncture and oriental medicine offers, you miss that. And with the points, I've just seen amazing things over time. People have.
And with the points, you're referring to the needles.
The acupuncture. Yeah. And also.
The points of the meridians.
Yes, exactly. They're on the meridians, and doing the acupressure, acupoints, you just see changes in people. And sometimes people can't quite put their finger on it. Sometimes there's really big changes quick, but the average time, there's these subtle changes that add up over time or over a few weeks. And actually, a lot of people, I kind of joke because it just seems counterintuitive. I still look at it and go, this is really bizarre that people are coming and I put sharp needles in their body and they're very relaxed. Or they say, oh, it hurts here. I was like, well, let me just stick a needle there. from the standpoint back, you look at it and go, oh, that doesn't seem correct. And yet you're really accessing the body in a new way. One thing I'd say about that that a lot of people don't think about is the body is more energetic than it is mechanical. So all of our studies, like when I was in school studying anatomy and physiology, it's all about mechanics.
Right.
It's like the enzymes help the proteins do this, and the proteins, that's part of the mechanics. And then there's your pulley systems like muscles and bones and that kind of thing. But actually, we are far more electrical than we are mechanical.
Yeah, we are.
And the only thing we've really been studying very much, I mean, all people know that cells give off a certain amount of energy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you calculate that all up, it's a significant amount of energy. So one human body has enough energy to power a large city for like a week.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. And so we don't look at our electromagnetic abilities or what we are or deficiencies mm-hmm. or energetic deficiencies. We're always looking at just one little piece of it. And so acupuncture, being metal, helps work in a very complicated system
yeah.
of inner networks of pathways. Meridians are just one part of that. And then there's deeper channels as
well. Yeah, how does that work?
Well, there's a lot of channels. There's 12 major channels, and then there's all these internal channels with different pathways of how those meridians meet together. And then each point, so you might find a point that is on two or three different channels, the intersection for two or three, like a what they call a deeper low channel, where you're getting into, maybe you're getting into a deeper organ part. Or another thing that's really fun is like the fingers to the, it's tips of the fingers to kind of the joints up to the wrist or up to the elbow, likewise on the knee and stuff. Mm-hmm. It kind of shows you how deep the chi works and then what that'll influence in the body. So if someone's having a really acute, like they're having a seizure or they're about to go into a coma or like a really fright or something like that, you would be needling points that deal superficial energy. So on the fingertips.
Oh.
But let's just go as deep as you can or not, or in that mindset deeper. It might be at the elbow or at the knees, and you're looking at a slower, deeper chronic issue that might take time to resolve. And that's the only way you're going to get to it is going into that deeper area. So that also gives, it's a fascinating thing.
It sounds really, can you tell us more about the meridians?
I mean, the meridians are the energetic pathways that carry energy.
Okay.
And then they connect with several of the major organ systems. One thing that's really interesting about the meridians is that for a long time, you know, acupuncture has been kind of like, oh, does this really exist? Is this an old folklore? You know, we always find mm-hmm. things that we're like, oh, we thought that back then, it was wrong. And there's people have thought that about Chinese medicine and about the meridians. But I think it was in the 70s, some people in France actually injected isotopes into the meridians and were able to photograph them. So we know that they're
Fantastic.
There. And we've known for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who have studied them. And the way that we were taught that all of them flow from one organ system to another isn't exactly how they flow if you're actually watching them work. So sometimes they go down the arm and then they jump over to a different one, which, you know, we didn't, unless you're really attuned to energy. So, for example, when I'm doing acupuncture, I'm taking the pulse on and off throughout because
mm-hmm.
I want to see how the energy's changing based off of the points that I put in. And so I may not know it's jumping, but I think I have to change that point because the pulse has changed in a way that makes me understand that it's not connecting. Like the circuit isn't connecting the way.
Oh, that's an interesting way to follow it.
Yeah. So I you know, a long time ago, when I first started over 20 years ago practicing, I knew that sometimes the points would go in and it's kind of like, it's like a fish on the other side
mm-hmm.
biting down. And it was, the body was like, yes.
Right,
yeah. And I mean, you could even see
it.
Yeah. They would even suck the needle down a little
wow.
bit, which was kind of scary to me when I was first practicing. And other times they would push it out or it's almost like it was just dangling there.
Oh.
Nothing had engaged. And so over the years, for a while now, I've just gotten more skilled at each treatment is like all connected.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had kind of a barefoot practice in on the island between China and Taiwan, Penghu, I would notice that some points didn't want to come out. So I would leave them. And I remember having really good successes sometimes where other people hadn't. You know, like with one memory is the grandma of a family who was like 70s, 80s, and she had terrible knees. And her knees just bothered her so badly. And they'd done a thing called scarring moxa, where they take moxibustion and they'd actually, normally you just burn it over the skin, but they actually burn the skin to scar it for a stronger effect for her.
Wow.
And that didn't even work.
Wow.
But I found a few points that her body was like, yes. And I was like, well, I'm just going to leave it here and see what happens. She laid on, and they're used to laying on hard floors, but this grandma laid on the hard floor for like a couple hours. And I kept checking. The family's all eating. We're all eating.
Right?
I'm like, are you okay? And she was, and she had the best results she had ever had. So that was one of my first lessons
wonderful.
That like, listen to the body, pay attention mm-hmm. to what's happening and adapt to it.
That's great. Wonderful. So what is the purpose of acupuncture?
For me, I wouldn't speak as an entire expert on that because it's been over 20 years of working with it. But if you find people who've been working with chi is the energy that runs through the points and the meridians. It's, you know, a lot more about it and so little about it in some ways. And so the purpose of acupuncture from my standpoint is to tap into the body's innate healing system. So first it's to listen as well as you can to the body, like what I was saying before. You know, listen to the pulse, listen to the person, watch the body and take the pulse. Whatever you need to do, whatever your feedback method is, pay attention. Find the places where the body just needs a little extra connectivity. Use the body's own healing system to then regulate it, and the body will begin to heal.
Nice. So are there different styles of acupuncture?
There are many, many different styles of acupuncture. There's a lot of microsystems, like what I was talking about. The ear has microsystem, meaning you can it's a small piece of the body that can access the entire body. Wow. So you can access the nervous system, reproductive system, liver, whatever, through the ear. And then there's hand, foot, scalp. Every part of the body has a microsystem.
Wow.
And then there's Korean, Japanese, Chinese, and they're all a little bit different. And some of them contradict each other entirely on what they think one thing is right or not.
Right.
Like point locations, point indications. Yeah. And like in Chinese medicine in general, we look at the tongue, we take the pulse. We also really pay attention to the whole, like, how does a person walk, talk, sound, everything. And, you know, some places, some different Asian medicines will focus more on the tongue, but not the pulse. And so there's a huge variety out there.
So what would your session look like?
Good question. So I still use a lot of those methods. And I'll back up because some people call traditional Chinese medicine TCM, traditional communist medicine.
Oh, no.
I know that.
I've never heard that before.
Well,
that's
there
really
you go. A little information for you. We always joked in school and other people would talk about this because during the Cultural Revolution in China, they really wanted to strip everything of spirituality or...
Oh, that's really unfortunate.
A lot of things, actually. There's a lot they wanted to make it very westernized, and yet it's not a Western system.
Yeah.
And so they would come up with point protocols and, like, you would see in a more of a Western...
like medical school.
Yeah.
They were trying to make it more...
Yeah, they were trying to make it more mainstreamed and take out all of, like, the emotional... And actually, with Chinese medicine, you really can't do that. And back then, we didn't know this, but now we do. There's emotional receptors all over the body.
All over the body.
Yeah, and Chinese medicine has been mapping that out. That's what I love about it. I was talking about that stand back and watch and see. And then you get thousands of years of people putting all their information together of standing back and watching and seeing. You're like, gosh, it seems like when people have digestive disorders, they tend to be pensive and worry and maybe needy even, whereas someone with a heart disorder has a different emotional component. And so anyway, Chinese medicine knew about that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so the communist medicine took a lot of that out. So then if you're coming to see me, I feel like I learned the traditional communist medicine. But I also learned some of the other deeper aspects of it. And part of that's just out of practice. And so if someone comes to see me, I do just a normal intake and find out who they are, what they're coming there for, what their hope for seeing me is. And I often ask that with people. It's like, how do you want to feel walking away from today? What's your intention for today?
Mm-hmm.
And I always want to make sure I'm meeting their needs, because it's easy with all this education to think, oh, I know I could fix all these things about you.
Right.
And so I don't do that. I mean, I will help guide people here and there, but I'm like, what are you here for? And, you know, we have a nice space. I really try to keep it calm and soothing and comforting. We have a jade, and there's some other stones in there. Pad for people to lay on while they're getting their acupuncture.
Wonderful.
It's heated and infrared and negative ionizing. And
nice.
Yeah. And then I find the points I want to do. And I usually do one-on-one unless it's one of my two community clinics, and that's not one-on-one.
Okay.
And then I'll do a little bit of acupressure energy work on the scalp or feet pretty much every time.
That's really nice.
Yeah. And then I, as we'll probably talk at some point, but I have an ability to run frequencies into the body. So while the body's open, you're actually inputting information for the body to attempt to absorb and assimilate and heal with.
Great. Why don't we go ahead and talk about
that? Sure.
That's a fascinating subject.
Yeah. So we had the ability to talk a little bit earlier about Rife, the Rife machine, the German machine that Dr. Rife had come up with.
Right.
And he is said to cure cancer. And, you know, I don't know what happened with that. The history there is a little bit lost. But I know people have been really interested in it since.
Yes.
And everything comes down to sound frequencies. Light is a form of frequency. I mean, so, and we were talking about there's all this information and new technologies around frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to a store and you buy a homeopathic, it's actually now created with a computer frequency.
Great.
Yeah, where it used to be this kind of tedious hand process where they did a thing called percussion, where they just shook it and shook it and shook it and shook it to try to get the inner the energetic signature into the whatever it was you're going to take. But now it's just put on a plate and zapped. And when I found that out, I was like, and it's a little bit longer story, so I won't go into all that, but I talked to this really fascinating physicist, and he had like every gadget you can imagine, the latest technologies he was always advised on. And I got a chance to spend some time to him, and I went to his basement with the hundreds of thousands of dollars of gear with my small child who was like not have touch everything. I showed up with my 3-year-old, I'm like, hi. Dr. So-and-so. But he was really helpful because I just thought, you know, it'd be really great is with the current capacity of cell phones and iPads, couldn't you put all this into an app? And he said, actually, I just finished working on one.
Fantastic.
And this guy's so cute. I mean, I don't mean to be cute because he's retired and he's got this little sweater. He's like, you know, 70, 80 years old. And we didn't look like people would normally be in a room together at all. And yet he was so generous with his time. And he was so fascinated with quantum physics and voice algorithm detection and having all those frequencies stored and be able to imprint them. Those are called imprinters. So anyway, I got to use one of his licenses, and I paid him for one of the licenses. And a long time ago, these things have been around-ish. They've been really improved, but they've been around for, I saw a device similar to this maybe 12 years ago, but it was $20,000 to $30,000.
Wow.
I was like, wow. And now, actually, that company might be launching an app to the public.
I hope so.
And I think when I paid for it, it was like a few thousand dollars. I think they've gotten it down to like $900 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just like with all other technologies out there with cell phones and TVs, and the natural medicine world has been working in the same genre and trying to go through. And so it's not, you know, it's not when you work with large holistic systems, and you're integrating quantum mechanics and energy, things aren't exact sciences in the way that we are used to.
No.
But it's been a really interesting journey with it, because the device I had will actually say, I think this might be going on in this person. And I don't use it as definitive, but I use it as it's a potential.
Right.
You're not, it's in the quantum world, and it's in the voice algorithm world. So it takes the frequencies that you are producing, compares it to a library that it already has, and tries to match them up.
Great.
And then you can see what's matching up. So it's just kind of a guidepost, but it's been fascinating to go, oh, you know, saying that there's potentially dental stuff.
Right.
Now that's kind of cool. But even if you're not using it for that application, if you say, oh, this person could probably use some frequencies to like for relaxation or get the muscles to relax, like really simple stuff, just using sound therapy, not quite like ultrasound, but using sound therapy on a joint or something, I found it really useful. And sometimes people say, well, what if you're putting the wrong one in? And I said, you know, I don't think we have all the information on that, but it's really more like if the song is playing and you're playing the right note in a song you don't notice. So these are for the notes that are off in the song.
Yes.
And then you notice, you start telling the conductor, it would sound better if you did this.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the conductor says, oh yeah, let me try that. Oh, it does sound better.
That's great. I ran into a study not too long ago where they were using frequency to heal bone.
Mm-hmm.
And it healed, I think, 1/3 faster than normal.
Oh, I would love to see that study, because I have so many of the different frequencies. It'd be fun to see what it was.
Yeah, I think that's just such a great area, and I'm really excited to see more things coming out of that for sure. So what or why would someone come to you for acupuncture?
Thank you. It's a good question. Mostly right now, just since I've been on the island for a while, and after that big health crisis I have, some time ago, people have heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly people coming to me and thinking I could help them with something that other people couldn't help them with, or they didn't like the options.
Awesome.
Or they've been to everybody else, like all the specialists, and it's just not working.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just like, I heard acupuncture was good for foot pain. You know, it's been a comprehensive medical system for thousands of years. So it kind of covers most of the bases. Of course, like trauma care, emergency care, really acute stuff, not always the best option. Can be helpful, but not always the best full option.
Gotcha.
You know, but as far as especially Chinese medicine with me or anyone else on the island or anyone else or anywhere else,
mm-hmm.
is really good for any sort of chronic illness or anxiety, stress, pain. And that's what most of us are dealing with in our lives.
And it can also be an accompaniment, yes?
Oh, always.
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you do herbal remedies.
Yeah.
I saw on your website you have herbs.
Yeah.
And work with herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I studied in Chengdu near Emishan. Emishan is where most of the herbs for China come from.
Oh.
So I had this great opportunity to work in the hospitals there and studied herbology there and Chinese medicine. And I really felt like the best medicine you have is in your own backyard. There's a cactus in the desert. And I've always had that. So I always had this feeling of like, why am I getting Chinese herbs from somewhere very far, far away?
Oh.
So then I started studying under Jeremy Ross, he'll go down in history at some point.
And who is that?
He's an herbalist. I think he has a biopharm or biochem degree background. And he, long time ago, he's one of the first people to really kind of bring herbalism, you know, to the States. Bensky was before him anyway. Besides going into all those names, he's a brilliant guy. Him and his wife kind of dedicated their lives to herbalism and his to understanding local herbs with the Chinese medicine concepts. And so for many years now, I use Chinese medicine concepts.
Okay.
And I use old formulas that may have even come out of Western culture.
Great.
Yeah, with the Chinese medicine influence of concepts. Cool. And so that's what most of my herbalism is. But I often will create an herbal formula, imprint it with the homeopathic.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so you also do tinctures, fluid extracts. That's all part of the herbal program, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then meditation.
Yeah, I think many people who have opened any magazine in the last 10, 15 years,
yes,
I mean, it's been going on
so
for a
much.
Lot of
it's
times,
really
but it's growing so much. And honestly, for me, meditation kind of was one of those other things that kind of saved my life. I started meditating when I was maybe 18 or something like that, maybe even younger.
Wow.
Yeah.
You came to it early. That's great.
I did, out of distress. not from the best of circumstances, but I really reprogrammed my brain through meditation.
Wow.
And cured myself of mental illness from earlier in life. And so I've always it's just been a part of my life. And I've had groups of people I've taught over the years, Qigong, Tai Chi, meditation. For a while, that's all I wanted to do was be a meditation teacher because it impacted me so dramatically.
It is really powerful.
Yeah, yeah. And they're seeing, have you read Michael Pollan's new book, How to Change Your Mind?
I've heard all of that.
Yeah,
that's
sure
so
you
funny.
Have.
That was brought up at the dinner table last night when out.
Let me tell you, you probably heard this, but I mean, people are really excited about the psychedelic assisted therapy, which mm-hmm. I think is great. If you read his
leaps and bounds in studies in that department
that have
that
been
area.
Around since the 50s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy.
Just, it's really blossoming now.
Yeah, and it's come back. And but even him in his book, he talks about that someone who's meditated regularly for a lot of years, their brain's already at that state of openness that you get blown open with the psychedelic journey.
Yes.
And so that book just reminded me of that. There are people who aren't going to meditate for 20 years. So I think that could be a great option. Uh-huh. You know, it's kind of exciting. And then it also makes me really appreciate my background significantly.
Great. Mm-hmm. Cool. Thanks. And what type of meditation is it that you teach?
You know, it's a mix. It's really based off the foundation of mine. It was called Samphat. It's been around for thousands of years, but it's not a well-known path. It's more of Taoist path. Taoism is more about the flow of nature and following nature. So the thing I loved about it the most, that I found most healing, was the idea is that you go inside and you listen, and that there's something in there that will help you grow. And that is kind of like a baby beginning to grow. Like sometimes we shut it down and then that baby's ready to grow. And that all you have to do is really accept and allow and just be there. And to me, that's one of the most beautiful forms of love there is. So it's really, in some ways, a journey of self-love, because how often, I mean, if someone else were to do that for you, to say, I'm just going to sit here with you and allow you to be whoever you are. If you feel like crying, if it's the bad and the ugly, I'm just going to sit here with you and allow the whole thing to happen. That's a state of love that is hard to compare to. And so I think for me, it was that first ability to fall in love with myself that changed my brain. And that's really where the path for me is. So, you know, some people in the past have had a hard time with the path. It's kind of calmed down. Sometimes people would start crying or even screaming during meditation. And I was like, that's okay.
Yeah.
We're all here to be in our own space and to be ourselves while other people are being themselves. And they may be in a state where they need to cry for years.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Gosh. That's wonderful that you set up that experience where someone can really sit with themselves and where they are at the moment. And then other people around them give them space to be able, you know, to do that. That's great. You offer a woman's clinic here on Island. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's on Fridays. And it's only women who come to that clinic. So just I wanted women to have a place so they could feel safe just in case they needed to show a little bit of their abdomen. And not that men don't ever come by, because someone's dropping off a kid or something like that, right. But it's mostly just women who come. And that's Fridays starting at 3:30. And then I have a co-ed community clinic on Wednesdays in the morning.
And where are those?
Those are at Prom.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And where's Prom on the Island?
It's center. It's kind of near, it's Paradise Ridge Acupuncture, Herbs and Meditation. So it's right near Paradise Ridge Park.
Okay.
We're right there.
I love that name.
Yeah. I do too.
And then you do, full moon pediatric wellness as well.
Well, I have to apologize. We've not updated our website in a while. So I do see kids that'll just come in near the full moon.
Okay.
And I do see a lot of children that I don't do needles. I'm not a big needle person with kids. This is not part of my training or background and belief. While I know other people do, it's just not me. So we do a thing called Shonishin, which is a non-invasive treatment for kids. And so I do see kids, but not, we used to have these massive, crazy full moon clinics with like all these toddlers running around and a couple of us training.
Oh my God,
them.
That sounds like fun.
It was really chaotic and really fun, but we're not having them anymore.
Oh, and yeah. Shonishin, just out of curiosity, what is that?
It's a Japanese.
That I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, it's a Japanese style specifically, mostly to work with children, and they would do them on the full moon.
So is it like acupressure?
Yeah, we have these tools, and you run the tools over the meridians, but you don't ever go through the skin. You just run, so you're taking different types of metal even and holding it or scraping the skin lightly or running the tool over the skin. And they've studied it it originated out of Japan a few hundred years ago. And then I've learned it. And so, and then in the past, someone who worked with me on the island, she knew it as well. So that's why we'd run the clinics together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. What else do you offer for our community?
Right now, it's really the meditation classes. We have an infrared sauna with a UVB bulb in there. That's a little way to feel like you're getting some sun. So, you know, vitamin D is just a piece of what you get from the sun exposure. And so we have, you know, people who, you know, need that for muscle repair, for deeper detox. So we have that available. And then we have the online classes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I have an online class I ran classes for a while on the island in the evenings. And I used to rent out the theater and show movies. And then afterwards, if you would like to sign up to learn more about this, I'm available for these classes.
Right.
And we filmed them finally. And so great. People can just go at their own pace. And I say, watch these two first. And then every day, watch whichever one you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into where do you get your protein when you're on a plant-based diet. And it goes through my story a little bit about meditation and a little bit of my journey, but not too much. And then a lot of science, but practical science. And so it's probably 5-6 hours of class, but broken up into little bits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then where do we find these classes?
most people just email me about the class. We don't have it as a platform up on our website, but we will at some point.
Okay. And then what are the classes about?
It's all healing and whole food plant, like raw food, juicing, whole food plant-based is what those classes are mostly about.
Okay. Great. And you're putting them in ebook form?
Actually, the ebook is a little bit different. So those are the online video classes.
Okay. With,
so the online video classes, which is whatever, there's probably 5 or 6 hours of footage. And that is the whole food kind of like, here's a 30-day challenge type of thing for raw food, juicing, whole food. Actually, you get to choose. And I go over that in like, you know, choose something in this circle of things.
Ah.
Instead of saying, okay, you're all going raw, you're all juicing. I was like, I educate people on why you might want to do each. Just choose one and commit for 30 mm-hmm. days for what you're going to do. And
can you give us an example of what that would look like?
Yeah. Well, for example, I had some people, so like, the more like people who just want to dive in, I've had people who did a full on juice fast for green juice fast for 30 days or more.
Wow.
Whereas some people were just like, you know, that's not me. I don't want to get a juicer and it's not, I don't believe in juicing. So they did smoothies for like 1 to 2 weeks and then worked their way out. So I go over like how to go in that, the science behind it, how to come out of that. And I had one guy who came to the class and he just said, yeah, but he said, you know what? He said, I want to try to be vegan with some eggs.
Huh.
And now the thing is, that was beautiful because he had really great results. I don't know right. how long. I mean, I haven't followed up to see if he stayed on it long term. But mm-hmm. for that amount of time, he had amazing results.
And it sounds really self-empowering, too.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
not.
The that you have
I
it
don't
set
want
up.
Anyone to feel like a failure. And I kind of go into that. I'm like, as far as positive psychology and the research they've done out of Harvard, you want to be positive, but don't do things that you don't think are 70% possible. That just sets you up for failure.
Yeah.
Because people think, you know, I'm like, yeah, think positive, visualize, you know, sure, put a picture of yourself looking thinner. But if you don't think that's even attainable, that's just like the regular reminder of who you're not and what a failure you are. So it's important.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how people think, right? I mean, we all get imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. We get failure syndrome. And so I do go into that to hopefully to make it open for them to be successful. Hopefully as successful as I hope to be able to empower them to be.
Right.
The ebooks we've been developing are basically Chinese, like I'm calling it a DIY Chinese medicine.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So they're just, so you can pick a topic and there's a little book on it on everything that you could, you know, what would you do if you're a Chinese medicine doctor for that mm-hmm. person and let them peruse the information and just have that at their fingertips at home.
That's fantastic. What made you think about doing this? Like what gave you the idea and inspiration to create these ebooks?
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking about, you know, I do like to, I've always wanted to help people. And what I do for a long time was one-on-one, and I know that has a big ripple effect. But then as I started getting into the more global work, I could see myself affecting tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 20 plus years in my field, I was thinking, what could I do so people could just help themselves more? And I have, you know, all, you know, an expensive, high-ranking degree as far as natural medicine goes. I was like, what could I do with this? And I thought, you know, I could find a way, because it's not easy. It's kind of like trying to teach someone to speak some Chinese.
Hmm.
It's not easy to impart it entirely. So it's taken like a year longer than I thought. Because so I used my husband as a template, who's an engineer brain, totally
great.
Different than me and
right?
even the average population. I was like, if he can get it, anybody can get it. So he's helped me like, I don't get that. And I'm like, oh. Good God. but like it's been really important. It slowed it down a lot. But mm-hmm. I wanted to basically find a way to get the information to anybody, whether you were in the middle of Kansas, in Alaska, or in the Northwest. that you it would be accessible to you. Because I really do believe, like with Acupuncture Without Borders, that it's a medicine of peace.
Mm-hmm.
It brings about,
wonderful.
Yeah, it brings about a sense of well-being, which is peace. And your thinking and your body changes towards a state of wanting, you know, you're not as in a deficit, like desperate, you're full.
Mm.
And so you come to life in a little better way.
That's beautiful. Are there any stories that you can share with us about your practice?
Oh boy, that's a great, you have great questions.
Thank
Liz.
You.
I'm kind of trying to think what kind of stories are good to share. Of course, wouldn't talk about people's personal thing. I think it's
no,
just,
you can leave names and
oh,
people
well,
have it.
Any and situations.
Or
yeah,
like
you know,
that. Yeah.
Definitely, I've had a lot of amazing successes. I've seen children who some of their organs were atrophied at birth come back.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people, you know, I've seen some of these like miracle ones. It's one treatment where someone who had, you know, not on island, I'll mm-hmm. say, many years ago, but I remember she was coming and she had Giardia and never had correct stool sense, like loose stools 10 times a day, like watery loose stools 10 times a day. She's coming in for hot flashes, and hot flashes off the hook, like bought a brass bed, hanging on to that bed 20 times a night.
Wow.
While she'd go through these things. After her first treatment, all of her digestive stuff was cleared up.
Wow.
All of it. After all the, because I told her, I said, I'm not going to be able to get to your hot flashes until we get this digestion under control. You're losing so many fluids and energy through those stools every day.
Mm-hmm.
And she came back and I was all gone. And she, it's so funny. She was unfazed. She's like, oh, okay.
What was the word you said? Hafa. What is that?
No, hot flashes.
Oh, hot flashes.
Sorry,
okay.
If I'm not being articulate. Yeah, I've just had a lot of those stories and people who aren't able to function the way a lot of people. This is common. I'll have people come in who are not able to function in life well from some sort of inflammation process.
Mm.
And with yeah. both the diet and the acupuncture, with those homeopathics, I've seen people who maybe not be 100% symptom free. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, but they're living life. They're getting to live life. They're not basically, they're not disabled by their illness anymore.
Nice.
And I've seen a lot of that.
And what do you hope to bring to people in the community in your practice? Like, what's your mission statement?
Well, I mean, the mission statement for, yeah, I know, I mean, the mission statement for prom, it's in our, like, my tag somewhere in my email, and I don't have to remember it, but it's healing the individual, enriching the community, and acting globally, which we really work to do all three of those. So there's an emphasis not just on the individual, which I feel like I've gotten down pretty well, you know, for whatever, like, oh, I've got some back pain or I have this autoimmune disorder. Can mm-hmm. you help me? I work hard for people, you know, I try to at least. And then we've really tried to be a part of the community. My husband was on VARSA and VMCP for a long time. And
awesome.
I've helped do large events to help bring the community together or even just to clean up the meth. Like people would come in and say, we're having issues with meth on the island. And at that time I was like, all right, let's organize a big community event to see what we can do. Or
awesome.
When the teens were losing a lot of people, a lot of other young people, we helped to put together a big party for them because that's what they said they wanted. I was like, well, what do you want?
Right.
And these are all from clients coming in and they're, you know, clients going, oh, I heard that there's this neighbor who's on meth and it's scary. Or the teenager who's going to like, it's so hard. Everyone's mm-hmm. crying all the time. I'm like, well, what would help? And they said, it'd just be nice to have fun. Just have a party. And so we organized a community supported event for the teens.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah. So it's important that the community is rich because I think as we all know, you know, in our country or in our world, if that's not working well, we surely don't feel so good either.
Yeah. Thank you, Jessica.
Yeah.
It's been great having you in
oh,
the studio
thank you.
Today. I really enjoyed our conversation. You're beautiful. Thank you so much for
thank
joining
you.
Us
thank
today.
Thank you for having me, Liz.
Thank you, everyone, for joining me this morning. I hope you enjoyed our discussion, and I hope to see you next week. Have a great day, and remember to go out there and raise the vibe. This is Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM. Have a great day, everyone.